to late morning and then fall off drastically. We'll be in the 30s by sunset. North winds at 15 to 25 miles per hour will make it seem colder. Tuesday night, clear, cold, the first freeze. I think the low temperature on Wednesday morning of 24 is in jeopardy. We could tie it possibly. Wind chill into the middle teens and sunshine on Wednesday with a high near 50. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. A gag order is now in place in the case against the man accused of kidnapping Anaya Blanchard. The Lee County District Attorney says the gag order prohibits him and 29-year-old Ibrahim Yazid's legal team from speaking about the details of the case. Blanchard is still missing. Montgomery police have arrested a man in connection to a recent shooting. This happened just after 10 o'clock Friday night in the 3300 block of East Tuskegee Circle. The victim was taken to the hospital. We've asked for an update on their condition. And a missing person search is underway in Demopolis. Police have not released much information, but say they're assisting the FBI and out-of-state agencies with the search. They're asking the public to avoid areas with heavy police activity. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Your News Talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show, noon till 3, only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Record-breaking Arctic blast is closing in on much of the country. 80% of the U.S. is at risk for dangerously cold, sub-freezing temperatures.
One county in Florida is calling itself a Second Amendment sanctuary after a vote to oppose buybacks on guns.
House Republicans submit their list of impeachment hearing witnesses to Democrats. They have listed 8, and among them are the whistleblower and Hunter Biden.
The U.S. is keeping 500 or 600 troops in Syria after all.
The footprint will be small, but the objective will remain the same.
Madonna is being hit with a class action lawsuit for pushing back the start time of her upcoming Miami show several hours.
Two young men died when a speeding Porsche Boxster hit a curb in Toms River, New Jersey. The impact sent the sports car flying into the second story of a business.
So what's the target?
We believe it's Midway.
Top movie of the weekend was the World War II drama Midway defeated Dr. Sleep, the sequel to the horror classic The Shining.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Wow, welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM.
Damo Show on Monday, Veterans Day edition of the Damo Show. See a veteran, thank them for their service, whether in uniform or retired. And I want to personally thank all the veterans that are out there. Okay, 272-9228. Any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. And we'll send that gift basket, $60 worth of goodies you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Then if you're a first-time caller, like Alan was, your name will go in twice for this week. We do that drawing on Friday from 2:30 to 2:40. And Ritz won it last week, and he went down and got his goodies.
Nice.
I missed him. He went down at 12. I was picking at my ribs, which were spectacular. Actually, somebody picked up a rib, and because I'd cut them in slices, picked it up, and it fell off and said, "I'm sorry, I broke it." I said, "No, that's just how juicy they are."
Man,
they were spectacular. And Papa B went down there, picked up his stuff, and there were a lot of folks down there. I mean, you guys love those Boston Butts for $25. I think Reed's going to do that again when we get down to Iron Bowl. They're going to be doing hams and things
for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm excited about that prospect. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. I need to send this Kennedy to you.
Okay.
But while I'm doing that, let's pick up with Mark Penn. This is the Clinton former pollster, and he's going to be saying some interesting things. He nailed this thing on Bloomberg, by the way.
Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg taking big steps toward making good on reports that he's about to join the 2020 race, registering as a presidential candidate in the Alabama Democratic primary. Joining me right now is Mark Penn. He is a chief strategist on both Bill and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaigns. He is the man who called this months ago on this program. Mark, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
You came on this show and on my show on Fox Business, Mornings with Maria, and said you would not be surprised that you are expecting Michael Bloomberg to enter the race. Good call. Tell me what you feel about that now.
Well, look, I think it was political logic then that unless this field changed, Biden is a front runner, but a weak front runner, and a lot of the other candidates are too far to the left. And I think Michael Bloomberg saw that opportunity and made a pretty intelligent decision. Look, for him, it's now or never in terms of running for president. So why not get in and shake up the Democratic Party? And that's what he's doing.
Well, you make a good point when you compare it to Biden, because there are some people, and actually Congressman Kevin McCarthy among them, that say the whole reason that, you know, Bloomberg is coming in tells you that that means Biden must be failing, because Bloomberg said, "I'm not going to enter the race if Joe Biden is there, because you don't need me. But if he starts to fail or flag, then I will come in." So is that an admission?
Well, what I think Bloomberg has said directly, he thinks the field is weak. But I do think that Biden's going to have a test in Iowa and New Hampshire. If Biden doesn't come through that test, and at the end of those two has to drop out, then I think that's going to present a clear field for Bloomberg and the moderate wing. If Biden does particularly well in those two states, that might block the Bloomberg effort and it'll never get off the ground. So a lot of pressure is put on the Biden campaign now to deliver in the early states.
Okay, so let's go back to that. He basically is building his strategy on a Super Tuesday strategy, which has not been a successful strategy. Rudy Giuliani tried it, didn't work. Some others have kind of, Thompson was somebody else that was trying to get a Deep South Super Tuesday strategy. That didn't work. He lost and it was a no-show in Iowa, New Hampshire. Did okay in South Carolina, but then looked at the OK in South Carolina, gave him a bellwether that he wasn't going to do well anywhere else because he had too much competition. So his thing is wait to Super Tuesday, see how Biden does in Iowa, New Hampshire. Right now he's not going to do well. He could come in fourth in Iowa, which would be devastating. He could come in third in New Hampshire. And his argument will be, well, Bernie and Elizabeth both are adjoining states. And then you have to deal with the Pete Buttigieg piece of the equation. If he comes anywhere close to Joe Biden,
right,
then that's going to be nasty. Then you're stuck with South Carolina, and he's going to win South Carolina as long as he doesn't fall out of favor with the African-American voters. Then you get into Super Tuesday, and then you have Nevada, which I don't think he will get union support, but I'm not sure they can pull him over the line. Then you get into Super Tuesday. So if he has not done well in those, or he's kind of fallen, then Bloomberg is set and ready to go for Super Tuesday, and he steps in, which basically really hurts Joe Biden. And when you're talking about spending $100 million just on that day for everything working to that day, that's a lot of money that none of these candidates have spent so far, because that's just around the corner. That's March. So you have basically January, February, and then the first week of March. So you're almost there. $100 million is a lot of money. And this guy's got a lot of money. He's got $60 billion. That's 60,000 million. That is a lot of money.
Wow.
So he just takes 3% of that money, which is basically his interest return, and spends $100 million to try to see what he can do with the presidential run, because she's right. He's, because of age, he's kind of running out of time. Let's continue on with Mark Penn on the no billionaires comment by Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders has said there should be no billionaires in the United States. He actually said that. We know that. We know that moderates in the past have not gotten past go in the Democratic Party because the progressives have taken over. Will Bloomberg get a fair shot from Tom Perez, the head of the DNC?
Well, I think a big question is whether Bloomberg will be put into the debates or not, regardless of his polling numbers. He needs 165,000 small donors. And while people seem to like billionaires as presidents, and in fact, John F. Kennedy came from an incredibly rich family, as did FDR. So Americans have always seen that as someone above corruption in many ways. On the other hand, the Democratic Party says if you don't have 165,000 small donors, you don't qualify for the debates. And that is a problem for Michael Bloomberg.
Well, you know, Kevin McCarthy a minute ago just said that Michael Bloomberg gave the Democrats $110 million to help them win the House majority back in November for the midterm elections. Is he buying his way in here?
Well, he certainly contributed his way in some sense. But look, I believe that's what his conscience said. He's come out with some very strong positions on gun safety or gun control. He's come out with strong positions on climate change. Look, I think Bloomberg very much represents a social progressive, right, but economic moderate or conservative. And a lot of the country has been crying out for somebody who's like that.
So let's talk about his policy platform for a second. Do you think it will be climate change and guns or something else?
I think he's going to combine here climate change and guns with a set of moderate positions. I think once Elizabeth Warren put out a $52 trillion Medicare for All program, that became a target for everyone, because it's laughable that the government could put together that kind of program without increasing taxes on a lot of people.
Atta boy, Mark. I like that. And spot on with that. Let me tell you, the even Bill Gates is saying, I'm not sure if I could vote for a Democrat that has those kind of policies. So, strike one, Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren, I've noticed that when she's talking about this now, she's even more talking around it than she used to be. And it just didn't come across good at all. Okay, so now Mark Penn's going to be asked a question about Trump winning re-election, and then he's going to comment on FISA.
What are the chances that President Trump wins re-election? You've talked in the past about an issue that he may have with suburban women. Walk us through what the president's chances are today.
Look, right now, the country's in the middle of a realignment. The Republicans had strongholds in the suburbs and were weak with the working class. Donald Trump comes in, wins the election with a combination of suburban and working class voters. But he's strengthened since his election, I think, the commitment of working class voters to him, but he's been losing the suburbs. And that's where you see election after election in the midterms. The suburbs went over to the Democrats. The Democrats are changing as a party. So's the Republican. Is that permanent? Will it last? That I couldn't tell.
You've also said in the past on this program you think Hillary Clinton may re-enter. Do you think she still is thinking about running for president?
There's still a couple of days here. I don't know whether she'll look at the Michael Bloomberg thing and say, the field's too crowded now, I missed my opportunity, or the opposite. wow, the field's weak. I could come in. I could get 165,000 donors. I'm tied with Biden in some of these early states if I get in. There's still a political logic there for her.
You also have not been afraid to be out front in calling out the wrongdoing in 2016 and the FISA abuse, as I have as well. Do you think this now criminal investigation from John Durham, the Horowitz report, the IG report that we're waiting on, all of this blows up right in the middle of an election year, 2020? What's that going to do to the Democratic stance?
Well, the problem we have is every fact now, right, left, center, is looked through a partisan lens. I think I've been looking forward to the IG report. I don't see, having looked at this, there's any foundation for that FISA warrant, that real abuses were committed, and I hope people are held accountable for those abuses. I think they will, based on the kind of the hints that people like Senator Lindsey Graham say, but where is this report? It's been years now.
I'm with Mark on that one, I think we're getting closer. I think we're getting close, and I think it's going to be really devastating when it does happen. We're going to hear Lindsey Graham talking about that and the whistleblower, mainly the whistleblower, and he's putting his stake in the ground on getting the whistleblower to testify. Newstone 93.1, Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Turn on, tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Mattress Firm's Black Friday sale starts now, and it's the best time to save on mattresses. Right now, get a king bed for the price of a queen and a queen for the price of a twin for savings of up to $600. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend just $499. Hurry in and beat the crowds to find the bed of your dreams. Visit MattressFirm.com or a store near you to shop the best deal of the season. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit MattressFirm.com/sale.
Why wait for Black Friday? Get Black Friday prices today at the Home Depot. Up to 40% off appliance special buys, plus up to $600 in extra savings instantly on select appliances. No rebate, no hassle. Like a Whirlpool white top mount refrigerator for just $548, over $180 off. Talk about holiday cheer. Black Friday savings early, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through December 5th.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
People talking, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Hey. 272-9228, that's where we are.
So many people live and make believe.
Let's get back to on a reset here. Andrew McCarthy was on America's Newsroom this morning and talked about what the Dems and the Republicans need to do for these hearings.
I want to bring in Andy McCarthy now, former assistant U.S. attorney. I want to, for Democrats to make the hearings a success this week, what do they need to do, Andy?
Bill, I think what they need to do is try to keep the focus tightly on the president's behavior and specifically those of his emissaries in Ukraine and try to make all of it about whether there was this alternative pipeline of U.S. policy that was aimed not toward the betterment of U.S.-Ukraine relations in the national interest, but in trying to improve President Trump's fortunes in terms of the 2020 campaign.
What do Republicans need to do to make it a success, do you think?
Well, they have a tough row to hoe because it's really a proceeding that's run by the Democrats, and they don't have much in the way of rights to block that. So they should try to use that to their advantage. They want to show people that Adam Schiff, who is front and center here, is not really an honest broker. He's a partisan, so they want to make him as much of the focus as they can. And most importantly, Bill, they want to show that they have an alternative version of events, or at least a context in which to understand the activities of President Trump's that the Democrats want to focus on. They want to put these in context. They want to show there was corruption for the president to be worried about. They want to show that there was a Ukraine angle in terms of the Trump-Russia investigation, the 2016 election. So they want to argue that all that stuff needs to come in, and they want to force Schiff to suppress their effort to raise it so that that highlights their point of view that this is not a fair proceeding.
Yeah, that's what it is. Fairness is the operative word in this whole thing. If it doesn't come across as fair, then it's not going to come across at all. I thought it was really interesting how NBC did kind of the slightness and didn't explain it of the cheers for Trump on the NBC Nightly News, just barely did it. Didn't highlight it, didn't explain it, but I thought that was interesting the way they kind of looked the other way. But when he gets booed, they are all over that. I guess the concept is that, well, he should be cheered. Huh? Well, but when he's really cheered, it's not in their mindset at all. But I thought Fox and others, ESPN, did a great job on the crowd and talking to them. ESPN Game Day was from there, highlighted it. Fox and Friends sent a reporter down who did the day of the game and the day after the game, which I thought was very interesting, at a kind of a famous place called the Wayfarer. But they interview people out tailgating, and you had LSU and Alabama people together saying, well, we come together when it comes to Trump. You know, we love our football, but when it comes to Trump, we come together. And nobody else was doing that, and on the other networks didn't go and bother to go do that at all for their morning shows. They just kind of was, it didn't exist. That was a major, major event. I talked to somebody who was actually there. They said it was incredible, the feeling that was in the stadium. And when he came out and did that kind of flash mob deal, it was really good. So let's stay with Andy McCarthy. He's going to be talking about the whistleblower.
You wrote a piece, National Review, I want to put it on the screen here, the whistleblower and the president's right to present a defense. If Trump is impeached, he can build a strong case against conviction, but he might be wiser not to. Lindsey Graham on the whistleblower from over the weekend said the following, Andy. Listen here.
They don't call the whistleblower in the House. This thing is dead on arrival in the Senate.
The only way you can fairly deal with this issue is for us to find out who the whistleblower is. No American can be accused of a crime based on an anonymous allegation. The whistleblower is foundational to what they're doing into the House, and the fact that they don't want to call him tells you everything you need to know about how valid this effort is to impeach the president.
Okay, so you know the whistleblower's name was on the request list that came out on Saturday. What does that tell you, Andy?
Well, obviously they want to go there, Bill, and one of the reasons they want to go there is I think part of the president's defense is that there has been a coordinated effort between leading Democrats and their operatives inside the intelligence community since the president darkened the doorstep of the Oval Office 3 years ago to shorten his presidency, oust him if possible, and certainly hamstring him in pursuing his agenda. They want to show that this whistleblower is part of that coordinated effort, and I think that's a key part of the president's defense. So to the extent that Senator Graham is saying that the president is entitled to his defense in the impeachment proceedings, I think he's right about that.
And if they'll play that angle of it, the fairness of it, and that Trump is not being treated fair, which when you talk to the folks at the LSU-Alabama game, all of them were about that. They said it's nonsense. Even a Democrat said, you know, if they want to beat him at the polls, don't beat him. Don't try to beat him in Congress. We don't even, that was a Democrat who said that. So, of course, it was an Alabama Democrat, which is a different type of Democrat, without a doubt. But the fairness aspect of this thing has got to be the chief deal. And I notice that they're getting their talking points better. And I don't know if they're doing it in unison or with orchestration, or if it's just they have this kind of like 5 points that they're doing. You'll clearly pick that up when we get to the Lindsey Graham clip after our bottom of the hour break. Let's stay with Andrew McCarthy on releasing the other telephone call. This is interesting.
Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat, tweeted out this: House Republican cover-up caucus wants sham witnesses to testify. My two cents, get lost, all in caps. Garrett Tenney mentioned the possibility of surprises. I don't know if you anticipate some. Maybe tomorrow when the president suggests he might release the first transcript of the first phone call with the Ukrainian president from April. Smart idea or not, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, Bill, part of the Democrats' theory here is that the president promised the Ukrainian president a meeting at the White House, which is what came up in that initial conversation. And that is part of what the Democrats allege is the quid pro quo, that the president refused to grant that meeting until the Ukrainians agreed to conduct these investigations. So I don't know how much that would help, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Newstone 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back right after this.
People talking, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so. I love you, baby, like a mine of love gold. Come on, sugar, let the good time roll.
The Dan Morris Show. The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The holidays are here, but thousands of families in the River Region will go to bed hungry. Blue Water Broadcasting is doing something about it, and you can help.
Drop off non-perishable food items to Cartridge World or at the radio station.
Help stuff our Sprinter van full of food.
Cartridge World. Save up to 30% on almost any ink and toner.
It's our holiday food drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A Montgomery firefighter called us with a four-alarm financial fiasco. He wanted to retire early, but had to clear up considerable credit card debt. Alabama Home Mortgage cut his monthly payment by $636 and got him $37,000 to extinguish the credit card inferno.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly payments much sooner than you ever thought was possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you could save with your Alabama Home Mortgage.
Folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. Call 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com and apply today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says about our nation's veterans, we're forever in their debt. The president speaking at the start of the Veterans Day parade in New York City.
While we can never repay our warriors for their boundless service and sacrifice, we must uphold with supreme vigilance our sacred obligation to care for those who have borne the battle.
Vice President Pence laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. A plane skidded off the runway at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago after a flight from Greensboro, North Carolina.
An O'Hare spokesperson telling Fox News no injuries and that all 38 passengers and three crew members were deplaned and transferred safely back to the terminal. The incident being blamed on snow and icy conditions across the region. That's also canceled hundreds of flights at some of our nation's airports.
Fox's Jeff Manasso in Chicago. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Caravita Village, where they lead the way in senior living. Cruise into retirement. Schedule a tour at caravitavillage.com today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We are on the eve of some drastic weather changes, but for today on this Veterans Day, very comfortable. High temperature in the lower 70s. Much of the day dry. Some spotty showers possible later on in the afternoon. Then tonight, periods of rain. The Arctic cold front arrives in the wee hours of the morning. Windy, sharply colder, low 39. Tomorrow, a little leftover rain in the morning. High temperature may reach the mid-40s by, let's say, mid to late morning, and then fall off drastically. We'll be in the 30s by sunset. North wind to 15 to 25 miles per hour will make it seem colder. Tuesday night, clear, cold, the first freeze. I think the low temperature on Wednesday morning of 24 is in jeopardy. We could tie it possibly. Wind chill into the middle teens and sunshine on Wednesday with a high near 50. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Need to do some holiday shopping, but you're low on cash? No problem. ASE Credit Union has you covered with holiday loans and rates as low as 7.99% with approved credit. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. That's where we are on a Monday.
Down around the corner, half a mile from here. See them whole train run and watch them disappear. That was, where would you be now?
Okay, let's move to Lindsey Graham, who was on with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. And Lindsey seems to be the kind of the point person that's on the Senate side. We're going to have Senator John Kennedy on. We'll have his interview in a little bit, which was very good. Just vintage John Kennedy. But let's listen to Lindsey Graham talking about impeachment hearings and the Hunter Biden situation.
Public hearings are kicking off this week in the impeachment inquiry against President Trump. Meanwhile, House Republicans have submitted a list of 8 witnesses they would like to hear from. Among them, Hunter Biden, as well as the whistleblower who sparked the whole thing. The ranking Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, arguing in a letter to Chairman Adam Schiff, President Trump should be afforded an opportunity to confront his accusers, writes Devin Nunes. But Schiff already ruled out an appearance by the whistleblower. Also saying this, the inquiry is not and will not serve as a vehicle to undertake the same sham investigations into the Bidens or 2016 that the president pressed Ukraine to conduct for his personal political benefit. The president, meanwhile, insisting he's already cleared by the White House's rough log of his July call with Ukraine's president.
Read the transcript.
It's all about the transcript. They're having people. I never even heard of some of these people. I don't know who they are. And by the way, it's all third-hand knowledge. But regardless of what anyone says, read the transcript.
How are Senate Republicans preparing for what appears to be an inevitable impeachment trial coming up? Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You've said on this program not too long ago that Hunter Biden needs to answer questions. What is your reaction to this list that your colleagues in the House have prepared as far as those they would like to hear from?
They could care less about getting to the truth. What really did happen? Why was the prosecutor fired? The John Solomon FOIA request is pretty stunning. You can see efforts in the State Department where they were worried about the conflict of interest between Hunter Biden and this company that was being investigated. And when the president of the company, Bermisa, I think is the name of the company, when his house was raided in February, the Bidens kicked in. And we're going to look at that. I consider any impeachment in the House that doesn't allow us to know who the whistleblower is to be invalid, because without the whistleblower complaint, we wouldn't be talking about any of this. And I also see the need for Hunter Biden to be called to adequately defend the president. And if you don't do those two things, it's a complete joke.
No, it would be very interesting. For instance, folks, this is one example. If we, in fact, or we get the people that matter, we don't matter. The right wing doesn't matter, the press. The people that matter admit that Eric Charamella is the whistleblower. Wouldn't it be interesting if this young man, Eric Charamella, was in fact a fact witness about what happened in Ukraine with Burisma?
Oh, absolutely. Same thing with Vindman.
Right.
And I think both of them know.
Which would mean that Donald Trump asking Zelensky, hey, could you look into all this stuff?
Would be perfectly legitimate.
It means that the whistleblower was covering his own backside.
Yeah.
Not blowing the whistle.
Well, what he was doing is, as I said right when I first said it, he was trying to preempt something by discrediting that Donald Trump was looking into his opposition, which he's not his opposition. Right. He is Elizabeth Warren's opposition. It's not Donald Trump's opposition because he didn't have the nomination. The way they've blown this up, the best way to treat this is if you get down to that fact, then everything blows up. Vindman blows up, the whistleblower blows up, Joe Biden blows up, Hunter Biden, it's like a neutron bomb. It's just all dead bodies and the buildings are still standing. And it's really going to be bad. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I think the FISA warrant is going to be the beginning of it.
Well, and I hope Republicans in the House have something up their sleeve that they've been holding back on. Obviously, what Andy McCarthy laid out with the public hearings, you want to point out the unfairness of the process, get Schiff to shut you down in the middle of the hearing to show how unfair he's being. I can imagine that moment. But I wonder if you read these depositions they did in private, whether with Yovanovitch or any of or Vindman or any of these characters, if the Republicans have some more information that they'll start really asking tough questions. Because they're already down that rabbit hole a little bit. What did you know about Burisma? Didn't you, Miss Ambassador Yovanovitch, give a speech that essentially got somebody fired? Oh, yeah. But didn't you just say 20 minutes ago that you tried not to take any actions that would affect domestic politics in Ukraine?
Well, we didn't even get to the do not arrest list that we had from last week.
Right.
I mean, that was John Solomon. We may need to go back to that. But he was given by Yovanovitch a do not arrest list.
But Andy McCarthy laid out beautifully exactly what the Republicans need to do is give more context. Don't just focus on a few months of Trump aid given up by Congress, Trump withholds aid, Trump makes phone calls, aid finally released, blah, blah, blah. You need to look at, hey, this has been moving for several years. They need to provide that context of corruption.
And it's going to go back into the Obama administration, what'd you know and when'd you know it type thing. That's why I think that Hunter Biden is an important witness, but I think they're going to go back to Vindman and others. What were you doing on this date, on this subject, what happened when the Russians invaded Crimea? What did you do? Did you have any pre-notice of that?
Right.
What did you suggest to the president as far as defense mechanisms? Since you're so big on it now, what did you say to him then? What's your proof that you said it to him then?
Well, and since Democrats are already shaking the tree that is the State Department, all these apples are falling down, why don't we shake it some more, see what really falls out of the State Department? How about it, guys?
Well, what we're going to find out here is, my group feels strongly about this, is that you know, we didn't get to this last week either. There was a telephone call that was made, and the email reflects that, from Schiff's committee to the ambassador.
To Yovanovitch, yeah.
But we think that the ambassador, that was the ambassador, they said the ambassador reached out, ambassador reached out to them. I think they reached out to the ambassador because they knew that was going on.
And this is right as the whistleblower complaint is being filed. It's not yet public.
It's not public. It's going on. It happens a couple, right when the right after the telephone call, matter of fact.
So how did you know about it?
Exactly. Interesting.
Well, it was other highly sensitive, time-sensitive matters. Oh, sure.
So I think the whole key to this thing, the neutron bomb effect, is you get down to the corruption and that Biden knew about it and Biden acted on it. Then the quid pro quo thing completely goes away for Donald Trump. It then gets embedded on Joe Biden. And all the Democrats have been saying there's a clear quid pro quo is you're going to see it with Biden. Then they're going to shut the you-know-what up. And they're going to try to avoid that.
And, you know, we could have been like, everybody's like, here, the Republicans need to defend the president this way or defend the president that way. We don't know this latest call Trump's going to release, I guess, from April earlier this year. The call we have from July. This is a call from earlier in the year in April. We don't know what's in that call. So it could be that the president's just been playing this game for a while. And he knows he's known he's going to make this move for a long time. Wonder how exculpatory is, I guess, the word they... this earlier call will be.
The fact that he said that on the way out to the chopper when he was going to go down to Georgia, I think it was on Friday, the fact that he said that, he obviously knows, and he obviously knows it's going to be effective, let's say. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering whose ox is going to get gored with that one. I love Trump. Trump is just, I mean, he's masterful
the way he
does this thing. Okay, let's continue on with Lindsey Graham. No whistleblower is going to be dead on arrival in the Senate.
You mentioned the John Solomon reporting. Let's talk about that for a second, because John Solomon reported this. Testimony bombshell. Obama administration tried to partner with Hunter Biden's Ukrainian gas firm, but was blocked over corruption charges and concerns. Basically, he writes that the State Department's main foreign aid agency, USAID, planned to co-sponsor a clean energy project with Burisma Holdings. Is that what you're referring to?
I think the big deal is that Hunter Biden's serving on a board of a gas company that's being investigated by the Ukrainian government. In February, they raid the house of the guy who owns the gas company. Then you see a lot of interaction with Joe Biden calling the president of the Ukraine. Then you see meetings between Hunter Biden's business partner and John Kerry, and all of a sudden the case goes away. I think it's important that we find out what really did happen regarding the firing of the prosecutor and what was the conflict of interest that Hunter Biden had. But back to the whistleblower, it's impossible to bring this case forward, in my view, fairly, without us knowing who the whistleblower is and having a chance to cross-examine them about any biases that they may have. So if they don't call the whistleblower in the House, this thing is dead on arrival in the Senate.
It would almost be like, folks, if somebody called Crime Stoppers here in Montgomery and gave a tip, and the police start investigating that tip, and they investigate, and they go, how did this person know that? And it really starts to become apparent that the anonymous tip to Crime Stoppers, that person, they're now a suspect or a person of interest. And that's, I think, what's going on with this whistleblower. It's like you knew too much when you blew that whistle. What the heck were
you doing? Well, and also when you get the whistleblower and you get the Brennan connection, the Clapper connection, and the Biden connection, these dots are way too easy. And then we get the, by the way, I think the icing on the cake is going to be this FISA IG report, because what he is clearly going to set out is that they had it in for Trump and they manipulated the system to have it in for him.
People couldn't hear me bobbing my head like an idiot. Like, absolutely, this Horowitz report is crucial.
And so that starts proving intent and purpose. So you get those two things there. Then when you talk about Biden and looking into Biden, and somebody was avoiding it and trying to avoid it, trying to shut it off, what was their purpose and what was their intent? And when you get down to those things, these Democrats are going to look damn foolish when this stuff comes out. And it's going to set the predicate for this thing to really move down the line here. Let's stay with Lindsey Graham here. Do I have enough?
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham, a whistleblower needs to be cross-examined.
So speaking of that whistleblower, Fox News is not naming the whistleblower. We are waiting for any confirmation there. But others in the media have named this person as to be a person who worked for Joe Biden, who worked for John Brennan at the CIA, a CIA operative,
right.
Perhaps one of the people who dropped the breadcrumbs back in 2016 that President Trump colluded with Russia, which was based on the dossier which Hillary Clinton paid for.
Well, if the whistleblower comes from the Brennan world, that would be pretty stunning, I think. If the whistleblower had a connection to a Democratic candidate, that would be pretty stunning. So the only way you can fairly deal with this issue is for us to find out who the whistleblower is. No American can be accused of a crime based on an anonymous allegation. The whistleblower is foundational to what they're doing into the House, and the fact that they don't want to call him tells you everything they know, everything you need to know about how valid this effort is to impeach the president. It is impossible to conduct an impeachment inquiry when the chief complaining witness is unknown to the president, not subject to cross-examination.
And you can tell that the Democrats are really worried about this whistleblower because it, I think it's going to be very clear that you can better put the dots together. That's why the media blackout on this guy from all the major media networks. And what I understand is the reason Fox and these others aren't doing this is they've been threatened with a lawsuit if they do release the name. I would like to pick up the phone and say, was Real Clear Politics, Real Clear Investigations, did they receive a lawsuit for doing what they did? Why would they have been exempt from this? And why can't you just read the story like we did?
Right.
I mean, that's all you're doing is reporting. I mean, they love to report a story about a story, but now when it's Real Clear Investigations that's outing this. Marianne first?
Yeah.
Marianne, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Good afternoon, Mr. Morris, and happy Veterans Day to our veterans.
Happy Veterans Day to our veterans indeed.
I listen to you every day. I'm just so thankful. I'm just on a little old AM FM pocket radio with one earbud in my ear as I'm working, you know. But as the more I think about the Democratic race, you know, when we went through it with John McCain and Mitt Romney, we literally as Republicans had to hold our nose to vote for the candidate. And at that time, I was thinking, if this is the best that America has to offer, we need to go back home. And I'm wondering, are the Democrats kind of feeling this way too?
Yes, I think so. I think you have a portion of the Democrats who are looking at this thing. By the way, new polling just came out. Undecided is winning in every state but Wisconsin among the 9 bellwether states that are there. Every state, undecided, is winning the Democrat pack. And so... I think there's a lack of satisfaction with who they are.
Well, even though I'm not voting Democrat, I mean, I'm a staunch Trump supporter. You know, we need him. My biggest concern is the same thing about the Senate seat here in Alabama. After Trump, who's next? Who can we get that's going to be for the American citizen? You see, when Trump came into office, the impression that I got from him was what my mother used to say when I was a teenager. Before you go clean up somebody else's house, you need to clean your own up first.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that in all so many different aspects of our country, whether it be how the police officers are being treated, you know, law enforcement, first responders, on up to what's happening in the swamp, I really think that that's what Trump's trying to do. He's trying to clean us up first.
I agree. I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. We've needed it for
a long time.
He knows that in an 8-year period of time, he can undo a whole bunch of stuff. He's already undone a whole bunch of stuff. But you give him another 4 years of doing it, it's going to be huge. But what would you do? You like Mike Pence as president?
I'm kind of leery of him because he's not as vocal as Trump is. He's more quieter. I don't know if he's just still learning, or I don't know what his views are. I know he was good for his state, but at the same time, I'm like, we need a go-getter, you know. We need someone who can stand up to the rest of the Washington crowd like Trump has more right now to carry out his mission. And the reason I'm saying this about our Senate seat, the only person that I'm really interested in seeing in that seat now is John Merrill.
Okay.
But I just don't know, does he have the state recognition to do it?
John Merrill has been working the state for a lot of years. His big thing was running for governor in on the next go around in 2024. And
yeah, but I mean, I like his age. I like his age. I like, you know, everything that he's done for our state so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think he would be good, you know, for us to send him to Washington because he would have the time to build up his seniority
yep.
better than the others.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think age does matter in this particular case.
I mean, I would like somebody who can be there for a while. You know, not somebody that might be for 6, 8, maybe 10 years and they're out.
Marianne, I got to go to a break. I want you to have a great...
May I please get in?
Sure.
May I please get
give
in
me
on
your month and day of birth. Give me your month and day of birth.
0603, Mr. Morris, I love you. Joey, I love you too. Have a great day.
Thanks, Marianne. Thank you, we got you in. Listen in. We're going to do a drawing on Friday. We'll be back right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
On Tuesday, November 12th, registered voters residing in Alabama House District 74 will go to the polls to elect their representative. The following polling places will be open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts, Del Rey Church of Christ, Flowers Elementary School, Eastmont Baptist Church, Lagoon Park Fire Station, Frazier United Methodist Church, Eastdale Baptist Church, Houston Hills Community Center, King Hill Community Center, Wares Ferry Road Elementary School, First Christian Church, and the St. James United Methodist Church. If you have questions about whether or not you reside in District 74, please contact the Montgomery County Board of Registrars at 334-832-1215. Get out and exercise your franchise on Tuesday, November 12th.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
News Talk 93.1 FM. We're going to come back to Lindsey Graham in honor of Veterans Day. I want to play. This is a very moving piece that John Michael Van Dyke did. We call it the Diane Poole story. Now lay me down to sleep.
Diana Poole was an Army nurse in Vietnam, saying that she wanted growing up to be a doctor, but the money was scarce, so she went to nursing school. And in 1966, there was an Army Nurse Corps recruiter came to talk to us in college. It was her senior year. All sounded so exciting, she said. I'd have the chance to travel. I'd be well paid. Most importantly, I was assured that I wouldn't have to go to Vietnam if I didn't want to. She said, so I signed up at basic training. I was assigned to a hospital at the Presidio in San Francisco. And during my 2 years there, I received orders for Vietnam three times. The first two times, I said no. But then after a while, I began to realize that maybe my 2 years of nursing experience would probably be a huge asset. And I went, even though I really didn't want to. We landed at the Tan Son Nhut Air Base, and when the airplane door opened, I nearly fell backward, overwhelmed by the heat and the stench. Miles of barbed wire encompassed the hospital compound and a large adjoining airfield, along with acres of hot concrete, as hot as hell, it seemed. Suddenly, all my nursing experience of 2 years seemed terribly trivial. I thought I didn't know anything. And being 23 years old seemed very young. I was scared. But that time, there was no turning back. Because I was a captain, I was made head nurse on the orthopedic ward, which primarily held soldiers with traumatic amputations. I took my role very seriously as a nurse and had a reputation for strictness. Being a nurse in the States for 2 years did not prepare me at all for Vietnam. I witnessed a tremendous amount of suffering. I watched a lot of very young men die. One of my rules was that the nurses were not allowed to cry. The wounded and the dying men in our care needed our strength, I told them. We couldn't indulge in the luxury of our own feelings. On the other hand, she said, I was always straight with the soldiers. I would never say to them when they expressed fear, oh, you're going to be all right, don't worry. If they were on their way out, I never lied to them. She said, but I remember one young soldier that I didn't want to tell. He was badly wounded, couldn't have been more than 18, barely. He looked 15. I could see immediately that there was nothing we could do to save him. He never screamed or complained, even though he must have been in an awful lot of pain. And when he asked me near the end, am I going to die? I said to him, do you feel like you are? He said, yeah, I do. I said to him, do you pray? He thought for a moment and said, well, I know now I lay me down to sleep. Good, I said, that'll work. And then he asked me if I'd hold his hand. And I said yes, and as I did, something in me snapped. It became apparent to me that this kid deserved more than just having someone hold his hand. I'll do better than that, I told him. I knew I'd catch flack from the other nurses and the corpsmen, as well as the doctors, and possible jeers from the patients. But I didn't care. Without a single look around me, I climbed onto the bed with him. I put my arms around him, stroking his hair as he snuggled close to me like a little boy. I kissed him on the cheek, and together we recited his prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then he looked at me and said just one more sentence. I love you, Mama. I love you. And he died, quietly and peacefully, as if he were a little child going to sleep. After a minute, I slipped off the bed and looked around. I'm sure my face was in a fierce scowl, daring anyone to give me a hard time, but I needn't have bothered. All the nurses, all the corpsmen were breaking my rule, and everyone was crying silently, tears filling their eyes and rolling down their cheeks. And I thought of the dead soldier's mother. She'd receive a telegram informing her that her son had died of war injuries, but that was all it would say. I thought she might always wonder, how had it happened? Had he died out in the field? Had he been alone? Had anyone been with him? Did he suffer? These were the kinds of questions that if I were his mother, I would need to know.